Now let's turn to the New Testament, and we are going to be reading from Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. Matthew 2, 1 through 12. This is a story of the visit of the Magi, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judea, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me, so that I, too, may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. Thus far, the reading of God's word. We don't know the date of Jesus' birth. Most likely it was not in the winter, December 25. We don't even know the time of year for Jesus' birth, but some people have come to the conclusion it might have been in the spring. But we do know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and we know why Jesus was born in Bethlehem rather than Nazareth, because both his parents were living in Nazareth, and they had been brought to Bethlehem through a decree by Caesar Augustus. And so we know that he was born in Nazareth. And we know of certain cities in this world that people are familiar with. And there are cities that people who don't even know geography very well have heard of. They've heard of New York City, obviously, and they think about the skyscrapers and all the museums and the shopping and all the financial dealings that go on in New York City. And you know about London. There's a lot of history there. There's a lot of tourism, a lot of banking done there. You know about Tokyo. You know about Beijing as big commercial centers in Asia. And you know about Hong Kong, which is supposedly a very beautiful but densely populated city, and very interesting to visit if you ever have the ability to go there. And then there are some people who just say that Paris is the most beautiful city in all the world. And it's a wonderful place to visit and to eat, because Paris is known for its good food. And then we could place Bethlehem on that list. Bethlehem, I don't know what kind of food they serve there, and I don't know about it's about any of its attractions other than one thing, that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And I've heard of people who've gone to Bethlehem today, and you just go there and you see one thing, the place where they think Jesus was born, which likely could be because Bethlehem isn't much of a place even today. It's a small town outside of Jerusalem. And it seems like the birth of Jesus has made Bethlehem far more significant than any of those other cities that I mentioned, those worldwide, nationally known cities. There's something about God what he does on this earth is that God emphasized that Jesus was going to be born in a small city. And in the translation that we read from Matthew, it says, "And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah." When Micah wrote it, we read that Bethlehem was hardly worth mentioning as a city. It wasn't even big enough to have a group of people associated with the town of Bethlehem at that time. It was very small. And we learn from that God delights in taking something that is little and insignificant and exalting it. If we were going to plan the birth of Jesus, and I'm really leaping at this thought, but let's say that we were going to plan the birth of Jesus, and we would not have had him born in Bethlehem. Most likely we would have him born in Jerusalem. And we would not have chosen to have him born to Mary and to Joseph in their family. Those people are too low class. At least you'd have to be in somebody who had a little bit of money so that Jesus would be in a home that had a few things. And if we were going to plan the birth of Jesus, we probably would have made sure that he was somewhere where he could get a good education, good school system, that he could go to college if he needed to. And why would we have this? Because this boy Jesus is going to have tremendous capabilities, and I want to make sure that he's placed in the situation where all of those capabilities that this boy has could be fully developed. But this isn't how God planned it. I would not be a good planner for God. God planned it. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, not a significant city. Jesus was born to a poor family, not a moderate income or a wealthy family. Jesus was born in a stable, which isn't really considered a clean facility for births. Jesus was laid in a manger, where the animals had been eating out of, instead of in a cradle of some sort. Jesus was first worshipped by shepherds, the lowest class of people in the neighborhood, and not by any church leaders or anybody of significance until the wise men came by. And Jesus grew up, after he had gone to Egypt for a time, in the town of Nazareth, which was really another backwater town. In fact, kind of a town where people were not considered very highly. We read in the Bible that Nathanael, when he was told that Jesus was from Nazareth, said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" It's kind of like choosing a town in which there's a lot of crime or whatever, and you're saying, "Can anything good come out of that town?" Well, that's where Jesus was, where he was from. Jesus was taught to be a laborer. His father was a carpenter, and he was a carpenter. And there's actually some old documents that mention that someone was still using a plow that Jesus had made like 100 years later. It was crafted very well. And so, if that is true, Jesus truly was a good carpenter, and that's what he had been taught from his father. Jesus never forgot that he was humble, and he was a humble man. He reminded his followers that the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus didn't walk around with his pocket full of money. So when he and his disciples had to stop somewhere and spend the night, they could just pay the local inn to stay there. They did have a pocket full of money at times, but Jesus didn't have a home of his own. And he had to rely on other people to help provide for his food and his lodging. He was a humble man. Paul liked to talk about the humility of Jesus coming to this earth. We read, "For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." Jesus, born in an insignificant location, not very memorable circumstances, was poor on our behalf so that we could become rich. In fact, the birth of Jesus was just the beginning of a downward path for him. First of all, he came down to earth out of his glory. He took on humanity. Secondly, he came down to live his life on earth in an insignificant place. It wasn't very interesting in Nazareth. Once Jesus started his public ministry, he went down in his rejection by the chief priests and the Pharisees and any religious leaders. They kind of looked down on him because of where he came from, what family he was from, and what he hadn't gone to any schools. Jesus went down into the depths of anguish when he was rejected by God on the cross. And Jesus was lifted off the cross and he went down into the grave. Jesus had a downward path. It all started in Bethlehem. He was an insignificant figure who became the most significant figure in this world. And the question for us is, why should we take note of this pattern that God has put together for our Lord Jesus Christ, where he stoops down to exalt the low and the humble? Why would God allow his Son to live on earth in such humble circumstances and in such poor conditions? Well, we understand that Jesus' humble birth tells us something of what is needed for individuals, for us, to be saved. The way of salvation requires us to humble ourselves in submission to Jesus Christ. So we are to be humble ourselves, and he has given us an example of what humility is all about. We have to stop making excuses for our sins. We have to stand before that baby, Jesus Christ, and say, "We have sinned. We admit that we are sinners." We have to accept God's word as true. God's word as true, and realize that we can't work our way to heaven. And so many people would like to work their way to heaven. They would like to do something to contribute to going to heaven. But we can't do that. And we have to bow down to God, just as those wise men did years ago, and worship him as a sovereign God. We have to accept salvation as a free gift from God. "For consider your calling. There are not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen the things that are not, so that they may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. But by his doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, so that just as it is written, 'Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord.'" Jesus' humility, Jesus' lowly birth, was an example to us so that we know that as poor as we are, as foolish as we are, that we can come to God because God loves the insignificant. God loves the humble. When we understand that we are small and God is great, then we begin to understand how much God has blessed us. We read in James, "Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you." Peter writes almost the same thing. "And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time." Jesus had a very humble birth. And we are told to humble ourselves before Him. Those Magi, when they came, they didn't see a person, a baby, that was in a really nice house, was in a conditions that showed anything but poverty, and yet they recognized Him as God, as the Son of Man. And they worshiped Him. And they gave gifts to Him. That's what God does for us. He says, you don't have to be anything special to come to me. You can be like those shepherds. You can be like those wise men. And you can come to me. Now the question is, even though Jesus had a humble birth and He was to become a ruler over Israel, or a shepherd of Israel, how do we know that Jesus is the one that was predicted by Micah? And when those chief priests and Pharisees are telling Herod, oh yeah, He's going to be born in Bethlehem, how do we know that that is the one, Jesus is the one that Micah was talking about? Well, the easy answer is this. Matthew was inspired by God. And he associates this particular prophecy with the birth of Jesus. But the second thing is, as we look at this passage, we see that Micah describes this person who's going to be the ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from days of eternity. And so he immediately is talking about somebody who has an origin from long ago. And there's two ways that we can think about this, and the translation is not entirely clear as to which way we should interpret it. First of all, somewhere in ancient history, his goings on are going to be given forth. So we know that Jesus was a son of David. He was part of David's family. And so we find in the scriptures that there are two genealogies. One is the genealogy of Jesus' mother, Mary, and the other is the genealogy of Joseph. And both of them go back into the line of David. And so Jesus was born in the right family. He was born in a family that was from the line of David, both on his mother's side and his father's side. But this language could be also considered talking about God. It could be talking about someone who is born from eternity past. His goings on are from long ago, from the days of eternity. And so we could consider, yes, the prophet is talking about God. God is going to come here on earth because He is from eternity past. He has no beginning. He's always been there. This is who is going to come and be the ruler over in Israel. And that's another interpretation of this passage. And we find so often in the scriptures that there are passages which I call gray passages in which the interpretation isn't entirely clear. But when we look at it, the various interpretations all make sense. They all are able to correctly interpret the passage and to help us in its understanding. And so Jesus is the eternal Son of the eternal God. Therefore, he is the only absolute and rightful leader of everyone on earth, including all people who have already died and those who are yet to live. So how do we know that Jesus is the one who is predicted? This passage and other passages make it very clear that Jesus was a king from the moment he was born. Now, if you follow the British crown right now, you know that there is a crown prince, and then there's a son of the crown prince, and then there's a son of that crown prince. And so there are a number of people who could be the king of England, but the current monarch has not passed away yet, Queen Elizabeth. And so they're just waiting. Now, that little baby is going to have to wait a long time because he has to wait for a number of people to die before he becomes the king. Jesus, it wasn't so. When he was born, he was already a king and was recognized as a king. He was born a king. The angels recognized that and sang of his glory at his birth. The shepherds were told that a Savior who is Christ the Lord is born. So already, right away when he was born, he was recognized as a king. The wise men came and they worshiped him as a king. And so Jesus was a king from day one. The moment he was born, he already was a king. When you think about this little baby, Jesus, and everyone likes to think about babies, and how his mother laid him in that manger to go to sleep because she couldn't possibly hold him all the time, it's hard to think that this little baby that his mother placed in the manger to sleep was going to be the person who was going to redeem his people and deliver them from the shackles of sin. And as you worship Jesus as a king, and as you consider him your Lord, and you remember that he purchased you by giving his life, that this person, Jesus, was also born in this world as a baby. This is one of the reasons why it is so good for us to celebrate Christmas. We can remember that Jesus was born in the humblest of circumstances and that he was a baby. And there is a tremendous story for us to remember in that the life of Jesus was that of somewhat of an ordinary person, but that person turned out to be God himself, and he also was a king over us. And so the question is, as we picture in our minds this little baby born in Bethlehem, are you willing to come and bow down to that baby? And I don't mean for you to go out to a manger and bow down because we don't worship images and statues and so on. But we say he was God when he was a baby and he is God today in heaven. It's the same person, baby to God in heaven. Christmas isn't just a time to be sentimental about the birth of Jesus. And it has become a holiday for making memories and to meet with people and enjoy their fellowship and to be with your family if possible and to remember the past. And oftentimes Christmas is a time in which you remember people who have passed away, your parents or grandparents and other family members. It's a wonderful time of year for making memories and to remember. But in all of these things that you do, We need to remember that Jesus Christ was born, maybe not on the exact Christmas day that we celebrate, but he was born on this earth. And Christmas is a time in which for us to take some time, set it aside, that we believe in Jesus and we spend time worshiping him. And we want to remember him. And I know there's a lot of people who believe in Jesus, but they don't really act like it. They believe that he is the one that's most important. And Jesus would say to them, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do as I say?" You wonder why they even celebrate Christmas. The question is, as we sang in that song at the end of the service, "O Little Town of Bethlehem," is that Jesus wasn't only born, but he is born in us. And Jesus was born in Bethlehem in his physical body. But today, he is born in each of us. We talk about being reborn or born again. Well, when we are born again, we have the Spirit that was sent by Jesus indwelling us. We become born again. We are born of Jesus. And so if Jesus has been born in your heart, you have the greatest gift that could ever be given on Christmas. All those gifts that you're planning to give other people are not even significant when you think about this greatest gift that was given to us. And that is a gift of reconciliation with God. A gift of having our sins forgiven. A gift of having eternal life in the presence of God. All of those are wonderful gifts that we have that don't compare to all those earthly gifts that we will be giving and be given. And so if Jesus is born in your heart, you can rejoice with those angels who sang over Bethlehem, or those shepherds who went to see him, or those wise men who rejoiced when they saw that baby Jesus in the house, and they rejoiced and gave him the gifts that they had wanted to give him. And that's what I would like you to remember about Christmas this year.